And so I have a fiduciary responsibility to let you all know when I'm worried about what may happen, given, and so that's...
I don't disagree, so let me cut to my chase on that part of it. It is, every time the board, especially in closed session, gave certain directions, you would still argue about it. And it was constantly as if the board had not spoken, and then you repeated exactly the opposite, and then we repeat it again. I don't want to sit here and get into a debate. Just, so I appreciate your fiduciary responsibility. Perfect. So the next thing was, thank you. Housing in California, the amounts of times that you
I don't have an office in California. When you saw me, I was going to a meeting up in Reno. I was on a flight with you to Reno, mm-hmm. and that's when you saw me. And I have responsibilities and duties, thank you, to make meetings.
Are you here, though? Okay. I have photographs that were sent to me from people that work in this community that do not work for the health district that took pictures of you going to Sacramento and where Oakland or wherever
those
it was.
Were from, Chris. We
I understand that, but it's an issue that's been raised out there within the correct community.
I haven't flown to Sacramento in years. I don't remember the last time I've flown to or from Oakland, so whatever photos you think you're seeing are not true.
Okay, have you met with Mr. Knapp to try to put it to rest?
Who's Mr. Knapp?
George Knapp.
Oh, no.
It might be something you might want to take a look at.
It might be. Thank you.
Okay. Third thing.
But let me reemphasize, because you challenged me this last year at this time. I don't have a practice in California. I haven't had a practice in California. I won't have a practice in California. I don't have any other job but this one.
Okay.
Can I be more clear than that? Because that's how clear I was with you last year.
At some point, I'll bring my stuff to you and show you what I have. But that's
I'd
fine.
Love that.
Okay. All right. Third? If Marilyn Kirkpatrick is elected, you resign.
That has crossed my mind. I never told her that. I never told you that.
No, but you told somebody because they reported it back to us.
I refuse to comment on that at this point.
All right. And then undermining the bargaining team kind of goes to the issue,
not true. In my opinion, you've asked me for a response. May I respond?
Absolutely.
I don't think that that's true. I think that, as my letter to you all said, I believe that these employees deserve as much of a wage increase as we can give them. I think that that's pretty supportive of my staff. None of that was meant to undermine the bargaining, the bargaining meetings, or the agreement. I think all of us knew that this was going to be approved, that this agreement was going to be approved. I certainly knew that. And if you asked me, would I recommend that you vote for it, I would have said yes.
And why the letter?
The letter is part of my fiduciary duties to you and to others.
That's your perspective, and I appreciate
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely.
And I apologize for using the word unmanly, but I do think it was still disingenuous and led to not bringing closure so we could move forward. And I think that's what we were trying to do as a board. And so I still stand by, we don't need to sit here all day long. This group can make whatever recommendation they want to. I personally agree with the employees that you really ought to take a look at resigning.
If I may, you've said that every year.
I know. I've been fairly consistent.
Yeah, you have.
That's you.
That's
so,
me.
That's my friend.
Are there any other questions from people?
Are there any other questions? Anybody on the phone?
They shot themselves.
You and I have had a discussion, but I have the same concern. For the last two legislative sessions, the district has gone up there and lobbied for things that were never brought to the board for us to decide if we want to support that legislation or not. And I have a huge problem with that. And Chris and I have talked about it in the past, and I've never been shy about talking to anybody about that.
That's right. Yeah.
It's wrong, and I think that you need to rethink that policy. We get to determine what legislation this board will support or this district.
Okay.
And you at least owe us the conversation before it's done.
Yes.
That's my last of my comments.
Facts.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I did have this conversation with you.
I know.
Early on. So to now tell me that I didn't have a conversation with you is incorrect. I had a conversation with you, And every month, I gave you updates on virtually everything that was in our legislative agenda and where they were going. They were either in my written reports or my verbal reports or both.
Anything else? Anything on the phone? So the recommendation is for a contract for 2017 to 2019?
No, that's already in place.
Okay. It's the Fourth Amendment.
It's the Fourth Amendment.
It's the Fourth Amendment.
No, we already, the board approved a 3-year contract last year.
So we shouldn't be doing a contract extension. It's really just the issue of the money.
That's correct. The contract extension was approved last year. Jackie, I don't know if you can find that, but it was approved. And in fact, I remember you disagreeing with that
board
action.
Yeah, I disagreed about that part.
But it was approved by the board last year.
But may I speak?
Yes, please.
Here on the Fourth Amendment here, it could be wrong. It said in 2015, was this the... Replace 2015 with 2017, so that it becomes September 23rd this year through September 24th, 2 years from now.
An additional amendment to that in the following month, I believe.
Oh. We need to see that. Do you have that, Jackie?
Because you're
right. It's a good catch.
It
says the replace September 23rd, 2015 through September 22nd, 2017 with September 23rd, 2017 through 24th. September 24, 2019.
Yeah.
That's what the Fourth Amendment says.
Is there a Fifth Amendment? That might be what it is.
The Third, no, there's not a Fifth Amendment. The Third Amendment doesn't only addresses the compensation.
Yeah.
The Second Amendment changed the agreement from September 23rd, 15 through September 22nd, 2017.
So
I do recall there was a discussion
there was
about
a discussion,
extending it.
But it didn't pass.
But
I don't think it's... And I apologize. I know I voted no for the extension, but I don't remember what we did.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Is that going to be some search?
Because the discussion was, should it be an additional 2 years or just an additional 1 year? And it was a very fairly robust discussion about how much the extension should be, or if there should, in fact, be a...
Right at all. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. So at the meeting, which was probably September last year instead of October, a 1 year extension was approved, and then the following month, an additional 2 years was approved. So it was essentially a three year extension.
So you went from 16 to 17, 17 to 18, 18 to 19?
It went close. From 16 to 17, would have been the first one September last year, and then an additional 2 years was added on, so it goes until September, whatever it is, 23rd, 19. I guess, of 19. That's my memory.
Okay. Can we get all that clarified before the next board meeting, please?
She's getting the minutes.
Okay.
Well, it matters a lot.
Be patient with us
on
the phone.
It does matter a lot. Is this a 2 year or a 1 year? I guess probably.
So is the Fourth Amendment intended to extend it again, or is it solely for the 2.5%?
No, the Fourth Amendment is intended to extend it to an additional year.
To 2020.
Right.
Oh, to 2019.
No, to 2019.
No.
Because my understanding was that it was ending this year.
See,
so
I
yes.
think we're all
That's
confused.
Why we need the minutes.
We're confused now.
I got the second amendment up. In paragraph 2, it replaces September 23rd, 2014 through 2016 with September 23rd, 2015 through September 22nd, 2017.
Right.
And then what?
And then the third amendment was just
the compensation.
Money. Yeah. And then this one is from 2017 to 2019.
That's fine with me.
So you're asking us today to recommend to the board to extend his contract from 2017 to 2019 plus a salary increase.
The 2.5%.
Right. And?
And the expiration of the contract would be September 24, 2019.
Yeah, so 2 year extension plus the 2.5%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's how I originally got it.
See if they're
sure.
On the board.
So
on
that's
the
what happened? That's what happened?
No, they did not give it an extension. So now he's asking for the extension.
Oh.
We did not give it to him. So on the phone, Dr. Nemec or Councilman, do you have any questions? I think we finally figured out what we're voting on.
They can't see.
I don't have any questions. This is Ricky.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Nemec, you okay?
He's got somebody else up on his
knees. He might have to go out for patient because he's
Yeah, Dr. Nemec is the
just doing another exam.
Well, so discussion. Do you want to extend it 1 year? No years? 1 year? 2 years? What's the feeling? I know where I'm at, so but I don't want to color anything. So,
I would say for 1 year, I think, because we've still got some issues that we all want to see things better. I'm perfectly fine with the 2.5%. I know that in the past he's donated it back. That's his decision. Obviously, not going to be a request or part of that, but. I think I'd like to extend it for at least one more year at this point to 2018.
Okay, is that in form of a motion then for you?
Okay, okay. I'll make the motion then. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, that works out fine. Bob, do you have any questions?
Yes, I would say the starting date should be probably today or the week of the committee meeting next week
when
as opposed
meets,
to September.
If the board adopts it.
It's always been on my anniversary. That's when we've always done the
expiration date, so we have to retroactive it.
Okay, well then. Okay. I'll be supporting a 1 year increase.
Councilman?
1 year extension.
Councilman Barlow, there's been a motion made by Mr. DeBine, seconded by Councilman Coffin, to do a 1 year extension.
And
I'm sorry, can you say that again? We couldn't hear.
That wasn't me.
Oh, Frank, was that you maybe?
Yeah, my phone's been kind of acting up.
Okay.
But yes,
So there's been a suggested amendment motion to recommend to the full board a 1 year extension on the contract to 2018 and a 2.5% COLA, or I guess
increase.
COLA, increase.
Yeah, this is Ricky. I would be in favor of the 2 year extension. I don't know what the sentiments of how the vote will go down, but I'll stand by.
Okay, so we'll first call the motion, the vote for the motion with regard to 1 year and the 2.5%. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nemec.
And I'm a no.
Coffin said aye.
So motion carries.
Yeah.
I will put Barlow down for no with clarification that I support a 2 year versus a 12-month.
Okay, we will do so.
Did you vote?
It'll be noted.
He can't vote.
He's, okay. Yeah, he's just sitting in the contract.
So it's still 3-2.
All right. Motion was 3-2. Motion carries. The recommendation to the board would be for 1 year with the 2.5% increase. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Second time set aside for public comment. Is there anyone that wishes to make one?
Yeah.
And please note my. Ricky's in the minutes as to what his concern is. He preferred the 2 years. Mine was preference for resignation.
Regina Ellis, SEIU. I want to clarify some things. First of all, the information that we have on this document was from documentation internally from the Southern Nevada Health District. The budget for chronic disease was approved in April of 2017, and it was changed later in the year. So that resulted in at least one full-time employee being moved from chronic disease, who was doing the injury prevention program, which included the annual drowning prevention, since 1999. And I think some of the things that it would be good to know about that is when you move from chronic disease and you have a health educator who's actually working with the community into moving into another area where their function is totally different. It may be working with numbers, it may be working with numbers of people that are affected. It's a very different role from working in the Department of Chronic Disease Prevention. The person who was also moved half-time from the chronic disease prevention area, heart disease and stroke prevention program, she was actually working on a program with the African-American community, with churches, going out into the community and trying to establish this program. She was finding that there were huge disparities in the treatment of African Americans as it related to heart disease and stroke prevention. So when you move people out of one program and move them into another, the function is very different.
Thank
okay?
you.
And you are welcome to talk to them personally if you would like to ask them what that is. One of the issues that came from that area was the fact that the budget, their budget was changed after it was approved by the board. Some of these issues that I put on here were plans for future closures. So it does not just say that they are closed at the present moment. But let's address the kids clinic. The kids clinic is closed. There was an advanced practice nurse, a pediatric nurse practitioner that was removed from that program. She is now working as a registered nurse. There was another registered nurse working in that program that served all children. They did intense management of those kids, from developmental screenings to physicals to immunizations to anything that they needed as a child. None of that is happening. The children that are being seen in the refugee clinic are children of refugees who come through Catholic Charities. That's it. Their treatment is very different. They are billed as a refugee. If you'd like to see the billing sheet to see what the Southern Nevada Health District bills Medicaid for them, we could provide that to you. That is very different, the whole set of physical and what the treatments and the services that they receive are much less than what they received in the kids' clinic. There's no reason in Southern Nevada, in Las Vegas, that the kids' clinic should be closed. No reason whatsoever. No reason to move a pediatric nurse practitioner from that kind of spot when you have a huge population here that could benefit from those services. When we talked about the teen pregnancy prevention group, talk to those employees. Had a conversation with them yesterday. Come next spring, we're moved. We're being told our program's closed. We're being moved into somewhere else. Program is closing because they don't have grant funding. So maybe they'll be doing something that's related to that, but it may not be the same thing that they're doing now. So it's just like moving little chess pieces around. It's very different from what they're doing currently. So this whole manipulation of all this kind of information that you're receiving is part of the problem. The sexual health clinic, the wording that I took that is taken and shown here that shows that the nurses have to decrease the number of screenings for walk-ins was taken off the board report that you received last month for clinical services. The words were taken exactly off that report that say that those services have to be, that they're minimized because they don't have enough staff. We know that for sure one RN was offered to move from that area, she chose to leave. There was another RN who wanted to work in that area. She was told no, she would not be working in that area. So, you know, this whole thing about changing to a billing system has to do, you have to have some thought here. Do we understand that the health district needs finances? Yes, but the community needs services. When you fall through the cracks and you don't have the money to get medical services, where are you gonna look to go? Public health. You can't come here, then there's a problem. I would really suggest that maybe you send some secret shoppers into sexual health and see what happens when they come to that area for services. You know, the whole issue we brought up, you know about absenteeism. That issue has been brought up in the media and here, and you know, thank you for bringing that up. I think that's most of what I have to say.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Anyone else for public?
Here?
Right here.
Either one.
Whichever one's hot.
I think they're all hot. My name is Rosemary Ensign, and I work in the food safety training program in Southern Nevada Health District in the admin program. I was on the bargaining team, and so I have a different perspective than some folks might or might not have. Dr. Iser is correct about the fact that he can't take credit for the growth of the health district, that he has amazing staff, because he does. He has amazing staff. Middle management is amazing. amazing. And whenever they can, they make decisions to help the employees. My perspective and the perspective of most of the employees who are scared to death to say anything is that middle management, an example I can give you is in the bargaining team, we would go in, we would have a very productive meeting. We would feel like, oh, we're finally moving, yay, it's only been 9 months, okay? And we're all on the same page and everything's rolling and everything's amazing. They take a caucus and they come back and the attorney says, no, never mind, we changed our mind, we don't want to do that. The only opinion personally that I can draw is middle management is like, that's not too unreasonable. We don't think that's out of the realm of reality. And then they take it back to whoever's doing the strings, and the individual says, no, we're not doing that. And then the whole team comes back into us, and then we're beside ourselves. We're trying to figure out, what have we done wrong as employees for the last 7 years that we can't, I understand it's a fiscal responsibility, but 2.5% of 300,000 is a lot more money than 2.5% of 40,000. Personal opinion, personal observation. Middle management does everything they can to meet the middle ground between the employees and the frustration and the fear and the intimidation that's set down from above. And they meet in the middle, and they're amazing. I've worked with Andy several times. Amazing. I don't know about Dr. Johnson or Dr. Legan, but I can tell you that their employees love them because they've come to me. The problem is that love stops at the top. There's a lot of lip service, but there's not a lot of feeling. Thanks.
Anyone else that has public comment?
Victoria Harding, SNHD and SEIU. I'm gonna say Rosemary is exactly right in everything that she just said, but I'm gonna tell you, I have worked tirelessly with Andy over there. Very back and forth relationship. We disappoint each other fairly often and make up and move forward because that's what we have to do, right? Because we have business to do. And I'm telling you, I have never, ever on a problem had Dr. Iser fix it in the 3 or 4 years that I have been chairing this. And I sit across from Andy. I sit across from the other directors, the managers who say, Victoria, I would love to help you. It's out of my hands. We don't have a problem here in the district with money. We have a problem here in the district with our chief health officer who will not solve problems for us. And these problems, honestly, I have worked so tirelessly to where my health is bad to try and make sure that every day we keep going forward, doing public health, trying to minimize the poison that has been coming down from the top. I swallow it myself, so I never ever give that back down to an employee. I stop everything possible that is negative as it is coming down the pipe. I don't even do my job anymore because it's a full-time job taking care of the mischief that Dr. Iser is creating in our environment. And unfortunately, I can't do everything, and it is now bleeding into the community, which is why I'm now at this place of asking for his resignation, because I don't fear for the employees anymore. The employees are getting pretty pissed, and they're actually gonna stand up and they're gonna say something. I am fearful for this community and the public health that is out there. It is sadly lacking. I don't have confidence in Dr. Iser to do a public health motivated thing ever. I don't think he's ever done anything for anyone else in his life that has to relate to health. And I am the one who pushes forward. I'm the one who's been moving things, making sure clinics stay open, making sure funding over here and over there. C- because I'm telling you, what's been coming out during this meeting is lies. Everything that you guys asked him about, his justifications are all lies. They actually stood up here and lied as well, because Jessica Johnson is now doing only opioid prevention, and she is not at all doing the injury prevention. That dropped by the wayside. And I just don't like lies. I realize other people might try and take that over, but in the meantime, we've ruined what we set up with the community, and she's only been here a year, and she set up all this stuff, and we drop it, just like we always do. The health district always does. Why do we have that bad reputation? Because we go out, we do something in the community, and we drop it. And a lot of it is because we don't get support from the top, and our clinics, everything is a skeleton, and then we wind up closing everything. That's how we wind up closing North Las Vegas. It's how we wind up closing Spring Valley. It's how we wind up closing everything. And we're coming down to really the basics of public health, and even that, we want to have a federally qualified health center. If we do that, that would be the nail in the coffin. We would no longer be doing public health, and we would do just privatized billing services. That's all this is about. It's about money. It is not about the community. It's not about health, and it's certainly not about the employees.
Anyone else with further public comment?
Edie Maddox, Southern Nevada Health District Community Health Administration. I am a 15-year employee of the health district, so I too have served under four CHOs. I by far feel that Dr. Iser has been the most accessible CHO to date. I have personally appreciated his hands, his all hands meetings. I feel that he has been as open with us as he has been able to be. And I feel that it is incredibly unfair, the attacks and the disrespect that he has constantly faced and been under because of some very difficult decisions that he had to make during and after the recession at the direction of the board. Let me preface this really quickly. I'm from Detroit. I'm from the union stronghold of America. I am 100% for unions. Thank God, you know, 80-hour work week, weekends off, child labor, all of that. The divisiveness, and this is business, it's not personal, but the divisiveness and the negativity of our union representatives is deplorable. It begs the question of compromise. Dr. Iser's not perfect, laws are not perfect, the employee personnel code may not be perfect, but nothing is done with the maliciousness that the union would have you think that it is being done. Some grievances, like you said, are very legitimate. Some aren't. It's business.
You don't know what
the
grievances are. You can't say that.
Everything that I can see that Dr. Iser has done has been to protect the district, to protect the district's employees. His fiduciary responsibility, okay, he might be a little too tight, some people think, with his purse strings, but he has a responsibility set by, he has a responsibility to the district to make sure that we are a whole and healthy district. I believe that every decision he has made has been made to protect the district. And I strongly disagree with the call for his resignation. I feel that the tide has turned. I hope that with the new contract and the new negotiations and the 2.5% COLA and all the things that the district has asked for, I think that the tide has turned, and I think that we need to start a new page with new attitudes and new vision for this health district. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Okay, anyone else that has to make
one
a comment?
More.
Yes.
Okay, let's see.
Welcome, Andy.
Andy Glass, Director of Administration.
Welcome.
It's very unusual for me to even think that comments are necessary. And I'll make my comments very short. I think there's been a lot of misinformation, or at the very least, miscommunicated information that has gone on at this meeting. And it makes it very difficult to work in an environment like this. It's tough because there is so much misinformation and miscommunication. I think that Dr. Iser is a pillar of public health. I've never seen a man who cares more about the employees that work for him and how public health is delivered, how the services that are delivered from whoever I have worked for, more than Dr. Iser. He is genuinely caring. As far as Dr. Iser being the individual who controls the strings of what happens in this organization, I will say that I would not ever jeopardize my own personal ethics or personal business standards because of a decision of anybody else. I agree with those decisions, and I support those decisions. And at that, I'll leave it.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
My name is Vera Lynn Orweiler, and I'm the legal secretary through tomorrow. And I'm not leaving because I can't stand working here, just so you know. It's been a very pleasant experience for me.
Good.
I would like to say that since I have arrived as an employee here, I have learned one thing, and that is everybody wants public health, nobody wants to pay for it. And I think that any CHO that comes into not just this environment, but probably any public health agency anywhere in the US is basically held, you know, handed a big old bag of manure and said, make the best of this. I think that Dr. Iser has done a very good job at taking that bag of manure and making it into something much more pleasant. So I would just like to close in saying that his job is extremely difficult and he's not going to be able to make everybody happy, unfortunately. I'm sure that he would like to. But I believe that he does the very best that he can, and that's pretty darn good. Thank you.
Thank you, and good luck on your next endeavor.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your dedication. I am thinking about rescinding her resignation, however.
Thank you very much. Anyone else that wishes to testify?
Ms. McDowell.
I'll be brief. Chris.
We have member comments to each other.
Once again, Laquan McDowell, L-E-Q-A-W-N, last name McDowell, M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L. Well, first, I want to say this. I've listened to all of you, and I love it. I love the passion. I love the energy you guys bring. It's important to me, okay? Because at the end of the day, this is about the people, okay? I don't believe that no one up here has a cynical way of thinking. No one in this room has a cynical way of thinking, and I believe that, okay? But let's understand this. There's a lot of people out there that say, oh, I'm for the people. I stand for the people, and I want to be down with the people. However, very few people actually practice that, okay? Very few people actually practice it, and I've seen it. I've been here since 2004. Chris, I followed you. And I'm happy to say that Chris is not one of those people who doesn't practice it. She practices it, okay? Everybody on this board, I feel, practices it, okay? But at the end of the day, it comes down to money and being able to operate. I get it, but let's not forget the people. Brother Barlow, I haven't forgot about you. I know you listening, okay? Let's not forget. And I'm serious, let's not forget the people. This is what this is about. This is about us in the community. This is not me, Laquan McDowell, the first responder, Laquan McDowell that sits on the board of the advisory board. No, this is me speaking as a citizen, okay? I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from, where you're coming from. Everybody in this room is coming from. But it does take money to operate things. And let's not forget the people, because that's what this is about. It's about the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing nothing further, we are adjourned.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye, Frank.
I've been before.
Tell him to pull up his pants now.
Yep.
And I'm just eating.
Well, Frank,
I don't want to know.
That's my internist. You look just fine. You know.
Okay. Yes, we have. Thank you. I always have time for you or Mr. McDowell or anyone else.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Scott, great comments.
Thanks.
Do you want to go now?
Yeah, let me just say bye. I'll meet you over at my office.
McGrath. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to be sick. And I'll say what I'll say when it's on my mind.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Give me the card so you
can touch.
Because this is the first time I've seen this letter. It should be on the map. Because when you put in words like checklist, you can back it up with one of the problems. And by the way, we mentioned what kind of culture is it. We ask our bureaucrats all the time to come to so when you say that, but when you say that, it sounds as if something unwarranted, something that should have failed us passed.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Laquan, what are you doing? You're a first responder?
Yes, sir. I'm a police officer.
Police officer.
Are you? Okay.
Yes.
And for the,
Yes.
One of our only, 18? How many of you don't have many?
14.
14 now. All right. I was working on getting more.